For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 11th Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Friday evening, February the 16th, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Power of Blessings.
Amen, amen. Well, it's always a blessing to be here. Praise the Lord. Well, what I want to share tonight is, I want to say I flunked speech in college too. There was a guy that kept laughing at me in the back, and I just quit going to class. But my daddy and mother didn't get mad because I told them when I was going to college, I was going for a good time. So they didn't care. They didn't get past the sixth grade or ninth grade, so they thought the fact I made it to college, they did good. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, I want to share tonight on the power of blessing. You know, I'm not into the stock market, but I understand that if you played the stock market, somebody would give you a hot stock tip, you would really be glad. Well, tonight I want to give you a tip that I believe will change your life, change your circumstances, and it is on the power of blessing. A blessing is a form of worship. You know, when I bless the Lord, I'm really wanting to say what He says. And I believe that blessing others first begins with me being able to bless the Lord. And Lord, we thank You for Your anointing tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank You for Your word that will go forth like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. And Lord, we thank You that You'll be able to take the word and let it say more than it can normally say. Lord, take my lips and let them say more than they can normally say, and take their ears and let their ears be able to hear more than they can normally hear because of the power of Your Holy Spirit. But blessing others, blessing yourself, blessing others, blessing your circumstances, blessing your marriage will change the spiritual atmosphere that you live in. Most of the time we murmur, complain, gripe, bellyache, and the Bible says that what's in our heart comes out our mouth, right? And so I can't bless if my heart's not pure. Is that right? James says that the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity, and who can tame it? You can't tame your tongue, but you can get your heart purified, because when your heart's purified, then pure words are coming out. In Matthew 15, it says that the thoughts, negative thoughts, come up out of the heart. And what's in the heart also comes out the mouth. And usually we say what we think, what we feel. What we're thinking is down in our heart, and then we usually speak it. So for us to bless, we have to first get the log out of our eyes before the speck will come out of someone else's, deal with our stuff. If something's always coming out of my mouth or I'm judging somebody in a negative way, I need to find out what was planted down in my heart that would cause me to think those negative thoughts and deal with unresolved childhood issues. You see, you're a spiritual garden, and generationally, there's been things planted in your spiritual garden. Generationally, even in the womb, there were things planted in your spiritual garden. From the time you were born till now, because of your sin, or the sins that have been committed against you, has been a planting of some good things, of the good things that have happened to us, and some negative things because of negative things that have happened to us that we haven't taken to the cross. And so if we have a hard time blessing somebody, we need to find out why, what's down in our heart that would cause us to think such things. And the more purified your heart gets, the more able you are going to bless others. And I've seen such a tremendous change. And I thank God I have godly grandchildren, a godly son. And the people in my life now, after 20 years of dealing with a homosexual son, God has given me a break. I have a blessed children, and I'm so thankful for them. But anyway, just even seeing how their lives are changing as I begin to bless them. As I begin to bless my son with victory, with success, with favor, with articulation, with boldness, with success and victory, as I begin to bless my children and bless my circumstances, I'm seeing God change things. And so when Jesus said in John chapter 4 that he was looking for worshipers, another word, that word not only means worship, but it means blesser. It has to do with blessing. And so basically Jesus was saying he was looking for worshipers and blessers, people that would bless people. Someone has aptly said that praise to people is like sunshine and rain to flowers. I'm not talking about flattery. Flattery is kind of lying and being insincere. I'm talking about blessing people. You know, the devil didn't want me to get this word here. I've worked all week on this new message and printed it out, put it in a notebook, put it in my bag, I thought. And I just had printed out another set of things that was highlighted in blue that I could barely see, so that's why I ran another one. And I just was driving along today, you know, driving and meditating on this. And when I got there, I couldn't find my message. So I was glad. I thought, you know, the devil just shot himself in the foot because God caused me to pick up this other message. I started to put it in the trash. So I thank the Lord. You know, the devil wants to take control of our mouths. Because if we don't speak what God says, we don't see a change. Jesus said, you have what you say. He said, if you can say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and you'll have what you say if you do not doubt in your heart. Well, have you ever said something and this little voice said, that's not true? And am I the only one? You see, if you hear that little voice, you're doubting in your heart, aren't you? You know where that comes from? First John 3:21 says that if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. So if I can't speak something and say what God says without this little voice saying that's not true, that's not going to happen, and doubt and unbelief, then that's showing me that I've got something else down in my heart. I have an issue of guilt in my heart that's keeping me from believing. So if I want to speak to the mountain and there's doubt, I need to find out what's down in my heart that would cause me to doubt. Amen? And then when I get a clear conscience, then I can speak and say what God says. I learned this some years back when I was pastoring a church. I got a crick in my back. And I kept thinking that crick would work out all week. And one of my elders and his wife, they came up and prayed for me. And this little voice said, you're not healed. And I wasn't. So I went home, and I kept thinking, well, it's going to work its way out. Well, it didn't. So the next Sunday, I still had a crick in my back. So I pull up all the scriptures on back, and there's about 300, and I repented over all 300 of them. And so when I was dressing, I heard this voice said, you're healed. And I still had a crick in my back, and my spirit man went, yes, I'm healed. I knew I was. I couldn't doubt it. But the time I got to church, my back was healed. And so, you see, when I got my conscience clear, faith was there. And that's how the Lord taught me that. Blessings are carried out by holy angels, and curses are carried out by demon powers. Ephesians 4 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only words that edify and words that give grace to those who hear. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words have power, and power has effect. Positive words have the power to convey the blessings of God, peace, life, vitality, health, the blessings of God, healing. Where negative words can cause there to be an emotional, and that can cause there to be a spiritual or even physical death through negative words. Webster's defines power as the ability to do or act or produce Force is defined as strength, energy, vigor, power. Power is needed to force an action or a non-action. And so basically, speaking blessings has the ability to do, act, or produce, and to cause a force that causes strength, energy, vigor, and power. Power is needed to force an action or a non-action. Our mouth is a very powerful weapon. We can curse with our mouth or bring blessings with our mouth. When we speak negative words, it acts as a curse over our lives. So when you say, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're dumb, what you do is you put a curse on their life. And even if people never actually hear what you say, it can cause them to experience heaviness and oppression. Whereas positive words can bring about spiritual life, vigor, and vitality. And I'm reminded of a woman who one day just felt extra exuberant. She just had the joy and she just felt so exuberant. And she found out that some close friends of hers were talking about her at the very hour that she was feeling this extraordinary exuberance. And they were blessing her and speaking positive words over her. So even if no one hears what you say, negative words have power, because what happens is the powers of darkness get those words and it works like a magnet in that person to draw evil spirits toward that person to carry out what you're saying against that person. If you will, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20, and this is the scripture, one of the scriptures that backs up that they don't have to hear you. Furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king, and in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man, for a bird of the heavens will carry the sound, and the winged creature will make the matter known. In other words, the bird there is a type and shadow of the powers of darkness. You know, in Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13, when the parable of the sower, when the sower goes out, the word of God is the seed. The sower goes out to sow, and he sows some seed, and some seed fell beside the road, and the Bible says the birds came and took the seed. And then the disciples asked the Lord, what does this parable mean? And Jesus said, the birds are Satan that comes to steal the word. Because you hear the word, you don't believe it, then the birds snatch the word. And one of the greatest weapons against the enemy is our words. It's no wonder that he tries to keep control of our mouths and to use our mouths to destroy not only our own lives and the lives of others. With our tongue, we have the power to speak life or death. With your tongue, you're either blessing or cursing. There's no neutral ground. Revelation 12:11 says that we overcome in this world by the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony, and we love not our life even to death. Now, loving not your life even to death would be one reason why you would free you up to want to bless people. Because sometimes we think, God, how would you want to bless this person? They're just a jerk. Or, God, I don't really feel that, you know, I'm just gonna agree with you, God. It takes loving God with your whole heart and be willing to give up your life. Jesus said that you might find it. So I have to be willing to give up my life if I'm going to be able to speak blessings. What I'm doing is I'm saying, God, I agree with you for your plan for this person. If I say, I bless you with wisdom, I bless so-and-so with understanding and wisdom, I'm blessing them with God's perfect intent for their life is that they have wisdom. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And of course, the witnesses are holy angels and demon powers. In Hebrews 12, it says, lay aside the sin that so easily entangles you because of the witnesses. That's the sin you commit the most. The witnesses are holy angels, demon powers. When the angels see you walking in the Word, speaking the Word, they work with you. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who watches over His Word to perform it. But if you're not walking in the Word of God and speaking the Word of God, then Satan watches over the Word to perform it. And he has the legal right to just move in when we don't line up with the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and the high priest of your confession, of our confession." And so Jesus takes your positive confession. He's the high priest. And so if you have a negative confession, then you have a demonic priest that wants to take it. Hebrews 4:14 says, "Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession." Make a good confession. Confess what the Word says. I'm believing God for a healing in my body, and I've done everything I know. I've repented over all the no scriptures. I've repented over everything that I can think of. And I believe what it's boiled down to is God has been disciplining me because I haven't been a blesser. I've spoken negative words. And I believe that the manifestation of this skin cancer will disappear whenever God totally delivers me from this thing. And, you know, as I look back when God really showed me this message, I just started crying because I saw how I had a destructive mouth. I saw how I had cursed. I had two sons, one who was always perfect, doing everything right, totally obedient, was a virgin when he married in high school, was class favorite every year, and then I had one that lived a homosexual lifestyle. And from the time that babe boy was little, I mean, I didn't know about the power of words. But he would lie to me, the little one. And I'd say, "That kid is the biggest liar I've ever seen." I didn't know about the power of words. As I think about that boy who's now in heaven, I think how his life would have been different if I had spoke blessings over him. Even in your marriage, you can curse your marriage. The Bible says a foolish woman tears her house down with her mouth. And I think most of us could say we've been a foolish woman. God wants us to speak words of life over our marriages, over our life, over our mates, even ourselves. I have cursed myself my whole life. "I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat." I break that curse in the name of Jesus. But you see, those words were spoken over me growing up. Some of you have had negative words spoken over you that have caused your life to be a failure in some areas. And so God wants us to start changing those things, changing the atmosphere by speaking positive words. In Genesis 1, it says that just in 6 days, God spoke the world into existence. And he spoke mankind into existence. And you and I can speak things into existence, negative or positive. Now, all of us have heard this, but have we really heard it? I'm just now, after being a Christian about 45 years, I'm just now hearing it. I've heard it, but now I'm hearing it. It took a little skin cancer on my nose to get my attention. The enemy wants to say that the devil's going to eat your nose off. And see, having done all, I have to stand and confess what God said. And in the meantime, be repenting of anything God shows me. And so, with our words, we can speak things into existence, negative or positive. And if we have faith, as a grain of mustard seed, we shall say to this mountain. If we don't have faith, then you need to examine why your heart, your conscience is not clear. The other day I had a lady come to me and she said she had migraine headache, and I asked her when did it start, and she said it started when she had she was holding a baby that was about a year and a half. She said it started when I got pregnant with this baby, and she said, "I haven't been able to forgive my husband." And I said, "Well, why are you having a hard time forgiving your husband?" She said, "Well, he committed adultery on me. He was unfaithful." I said, "Well, did your mother do it?" "No." "Did your daddy do it?" "Do you know if your forefathers did it?" "No." I said, "Did you ever do it?" She said, "Yes, I committed adultery on him." And so, see, she was reaping what she sowed. You know, everything you do sets up a reaping, negative or positive. And so, when she could forgive herself, then she could forgive her husband. She wasn't able to forgive him because she had her conscience wasn't clear herself. She had to get the log out of her eye before she could get the speck out of his. And Lord healed her headache just like that. And so words are creative, either good or evil, blessing or curse. Words can be constructive or destructive. You go, if you will, to Proverbs 10:14. It says, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. So we can ruin people with a foolish mouth. Our words can build up or tear down. Proverbs 11:9 says, with his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Knowledge is the truth that sets me free. God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And the answer is right here in God's Word. We can hate with words or we can love with our words. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient, so hate is impatient. Love is kind, hate is unkind. Love is not jealous, hate is jealous. Love does not seek its own way, hate seeks its own way. Love does not act unbecomingly, hate acts unbecomingly. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered, hate takes into account a wrong suffered. Love forgives, hate is unforgiving. And the Bible says, love now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Your words, with your words you can heal or you can make a person sick. Proverbs 16:24 says, kind words are like honey, enjoyable and healthful. Proverbs 12:18 says, there's one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I want to ask you today, is your tongue a healing tongue? The other day, somebody was teasing a little child, and I said, oh, don't tease the child. And later the man, and I'm not upset with the man, later the man came up, and I'm glad he did come, because that way it gives you a chance to resolve things so the devil can't take something and twist it. But he said, you hurt my feelings when I was teasing that child and you rebuked me, and I did it in love. And basically what I told him, I said, you know, little children are so wounded. They haven't heard anything but meanness. Most kids have heard how dumb, stupid they are and what a failure they are. And it's just better not to say anything, even teasing a little child, because they take it serious. So it's safer not to tease. You could never tease my dad because he grew up and he'd have to wear clothes to school that had the back end tore out of them. And he'd have to back himself up to a wall to keep from being embarrassed. And you couldn't tease anybody around him because he was wounded because he had been teased. And so words can heal. And, you know, just speaking positive things to a child, speaking positive words to that child, you just see how God uses it to change the character of that child. My daughter-in-law is a second grade teacher, and the children don't want to go home. When she'll say, it's time to go home. They'll say, oh, no, can we go home with you? She can have a school meeting and maybe one parent out of the whole class comes and even takes an interest in the child. And that's sad. It's really sad when you think that this is what's going to be running our country. It's stupid enough right now. It's insane right now. What's going to happen when these kids are grown? The other day I heard on the news where a four-year-old died of a drug overdose because a psychiatrist had given that child three different psychiatric medicines from the time the child was 1 or 2 years old. The parents, I think, are going to prison, and the psychiatrist ought to go to prison too. There's going to be many, many doctors and psychiatrists that's going to have to answer to God for the medication they gave people that caused them to commit suicide or die. Yes, have mercy. Proverbs 12:18 says, I already read that one. Proverbs 15:4 says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. And God says that he's going to cut out the perverted tongue. That could be one of the roots to why people have to have their tongue cut out, because of words that has been spoken. It's a wonder that I have a tongue, because I'm telling you, you know, I grew up with critical parenting. So if you grew up with critical parenting, critical seeds are planted down in your heart. And I thank God that he's delivered me from a critical heart. I thank God that when I see people that in the past you might want to criticize, I thank God that he gives me compassion to say, oh God, help that person. Bless that person. Help them, Lord. And I go through the grocery store blessing people. Your words can set you free and they can set others free. Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Proverbs 12:6 says, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Your words, with your words you can bind or loose. Whatever you bind on earth is bound. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed. You can bind Satan with your words. James 4:7 says, submit yourself as unto the Lord and resist the devil, and he has to flee. Proverbs 10:20 says, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. Lord, make our tongues like choice silver. Proverbs 10:31 says, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. Proverbs 13:3 says, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his mouth comes to ruin. Proverbs 14:3 says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. When I shared with you, when I got the crick in my back, when I did a word study and repented over 300 scriptures, I got the scripture that really jumped out at me was, in the mouth of a foolish is a rod for his back. I thought, that's it. In the spirit, I have a rod to my back. And I repented, and God healed me. You know, back problems have to do with backsliding, turning your back on God, laying down, letting the enemy make your back a sidewalk because of fear, backstabbing, carrying burdens on your back. How many of you know that you can't see a burden, but you can feel it? People can put burdens on your back. Things that happen to us is like if we grow up and somebody's on our back and puts burdens on our back, It's like whoever did it is hanging on your back. And when you forgive them, God releases you in that area. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. And folly is any word that doesn't line up with the word of God. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. In other words, a righteous person is going to think before he speaks. You know, I can think of my life 30 years ago, and I look back and I'm thinking, dear Lord, thank you, brought me a long way. From a person that was a motor mouth in earlier years, he's actually making me a quiet person. That's a different. In fact, I remember in 1984, I took my son and my daughter-in-law to Hawaii, and my daughter-in-law kind of making fun of me, said, you meet everybody on this plane. You just talk to everybody on the plane. Last time I took a trip with her, I was quiet and she was talking to everybody. You see, when you judge, you become just like who you judge. That's what Romans 2:1 says. Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. So God wants us to teach our mouth before we speak. I remember years ago, if I went out to lunch with somebody, I'd come away feeling so condemned. Because where there's many words, transgression is unavoidable. And I thank God it's been a lot of years that I would come away feeling condemned. I don't anymore because God is teaching me how to teach my mouth and to ponder before I answer. I'm not totally delivered, but I'm getting there. I'm working on it. Okay, God tells us in Proverbs 31:8, open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. And in Proverbs 31:9, it says, open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. And then the Proverbs 31 woman, the Bible says she opens her mouth in wisdom and kindness, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She doesn't speak it if it's not kind. James 3:2, if you'll go there, please. It says in James chapter 3, verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So if I guard my words, I can bridle my body. The Bible says that through our words, our stomach would be satisfied. In my particular area, it has to do with food. And so, if I don't stumble in what I say, the word says I'm a perfect man or woman, able to bridle the whole body. Well, this is my body. This is the body of Christ out here. And my family's a body. Is that right? My children? And so if I guard my words, I can bridle my children. I can bridle my marriage. I can bridle my body. James 3:3. Now, if we put the bits into horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they're so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So here he's likening our life to a ship, and our tongue is the rudder. And so where I can direct my life by whatever, since I'm the pilot, by having control over the rudder, I can direct my life in the direction I want to by speaking God's word. James 3:5 says, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. Words spoken over a baby in the womb sets on fire the course of that baby's life. My son, when he was in the womb, I remember my husband saying, my husband was a junior college All-American football player, and he said, if he's a boy, he'll probably be a sissy. See, those words were spoken over him. When he was 2 weeks old, my aunt came to see me, and she said, he's just too pretty to be a little boy. And I was bathing him one morning because I wanted a boy. When they told me, I wanted a girl. And when they told me I had a boy, I don't remember saying anything, but my heart sank. Children can absorb even the emotions of their mother. My son told me just before he died, Mom, I've always felt like I was a girl. He said that two months before he died. And when he was 2 weeks old, I was bathing him, and I was standing this way. I could even tell you the color of the bathroom. I said, you'll just have to be my little girl. The power of words. I don't tell you that because I'm proud of it. I'm not. I can think of some of the things and the mistakes I made with that boy, and I have to forgive myself. And I have forgiven myself. I remember just before he died, I said, son, would you please forgive me that I wasn't the kind of mother you could crawl up in my lap and tell me your problems. He said, oh, Mom, you did the best you knew how. He said, Mom, I didn't want you to know my problems. But you see, I trained him early that if he didn't do right, I'd go into orbit. And so he would lie because he didn't want to get in trouble. And that's sad. I thank God that he used that son to make me a prayer person. I would have never been, I know that my life would have never been where it was in prayer had I not had that son that I prayed for 20 years. Remember when my oldest son, who's my pastor, I'd had a disagreement with my husband. In other words, we'd had a fight. Not a knockdown, dryout fight. And I had this chopping block thing bar in the center of the thing. And my son, who's my pastor, said, what's wrong, Mom? And I didn't want to tell him I'd had a fuss with his dad. And so I didn't answer him. And he leaned over the bar and he said, just remember, Mom, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayers. That was one I used to give him. So he was giving it back to me. James 3:7, for every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. James 3:8 says, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. So we need to find out what's in the heart that would cause that tongue to have the poison and repent, and then the poison leaves. James 3:9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who be made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh water and sweet water? Sweet water and bitter water. And if we don't like the course of our life, the course our life is taking, then we have to change the direction of our rudder. Is that right? And so all of us could say, you know, I want some things changed in my life. And instead of speaking negatively over those things, I need to start blessing people. Bless the turkeys in my face. Speaking blessing is a part of giving birth to your destiny and is bringing life to the destiny of others. Blessing is defined as the power to prosper, and true Bible prosperity is abundant supply in every area of your life, in your bodies, your soul, your spirit. Blessing is the impartation of a supernatural power of God into a life by the spoken word of another person or an authority figure. And, of course, by you or other people speaking over you or, of course, even a little child can speak blessings. We need to teach little children to speak blessings by our example. Part of the reason we curse others is because we've been cursed. God blesses us throughout His Word. He blesses us throughout His Word. In fact, in the 1600 or 1800 edition of the Webster's Dictionary, the word bless is derived from an Anglo-Saxon root word meaning blood, B-L-O-D, meaning blood. It says it comes from the rite of consecration by sprinkling the altar with blood. Now think of it. To bless someone is like consecrating them through sprinkling the blood of Jesus. Now, how much more of a blessing could you want? And so, what power we carry in the blessings of our words. God wants us to become people who are blessed. In doing so, we come into agreement with Him. The word agreement means to say the same thing as. I say the same thing even though I can't understand why God would want me to. I don't really feel like it. I really don't see the need to, but what I do, He's not asking me to feel the same way He feels. He's asking me to say what He says. And we're to speak over our lives, our children, and our mates what it is we want to see in them. So when God first started giving me this principle, I had a friend that had listened to this man on some television program. And he said his life was in shambles, and God began to give him, teach him this principle of blessing. So he didn't have a dad, so he goes to his brother and says, "Will you bless me with everything you think I need?" And his whole life just turned around, and now this man has written, I can't remember his name, but he's written a book on blessing. We're to speak over our lives, over our marriages, over our husbands, over our mates, over our children, over other people, what we want to see in their life, what we think God wants to see it. Because see, if you're a godly woman, and I believe you're here because you love the Lord, then you really want to see what God, the only reason you'd want somebody to do right is because God wants them to do right. And so to say the same thing that God says. As I said, when God gave me this message, I just started crying the other morning. I mean, last time I was here, I spoke on the power of words. And that made me cry. And then this one really made me cry because I saw how the destruction that had come about in my son's life, and I think even in my marriage. I think my marriage could have been better. My husband died in 1999. I think my marriage would have been different had I spoke positive words. Jesus cursed the fig tree, right? What happened? It died. Now, the Bible says we're trees. Psalms 1 says you're a tree. There's other places where it says the trees of the field clap their hands. So we're trees, right? If Jesus cursed the fig tree and the tongue can burn down a forest, if we're trees, this is a forest in here, how much more can we wither a life by speaking negative words? I've been told that in a satanic ritual or in a witchcraft ritual that they can actually curse people to death. By speaking negative words. They'll put them in the middle of whatever they do, their coven, or they'll gather around them and they'll just start cursing them. And they can actually curse a person to death with words. With my eldest son, I spoke positive words. I mean, I was just always not flattering him, but he was obedient. I had one that was obedient, one that was disobedient. One that didn't frustrate me and one who did frustrate me. And I was very verbal to speak it because I've had this thing is I don't lie to anybody. And it was kind of messed up in my head that, look, he's lying and I ain't saying he's not lying. He's lying. I heard a man the other day said, how many of you, he was teaching on blessings. He said, you know, how many of you, if your children weren't doing right, you would defend them. You don't want somebody else correcting them. You want to correct them, but you would defend them. I said, I wouldn't defend my kids if they're not doing right. But anyway, I had this thing, oh, he's a liar, and I'll say it, because I wanted him to be truthful. And what I was doing was compounding his problem. And when I had grandchildren, I began praying for them 15 years before they were ever conceived. And for some reason, I've never spoken a negative word over my grandchildren to them or about them. I guess because you pray for them for 15 years, now I've prayed for them 35 years because the oldest ones are at the University of Texas. I guess because you prayed for them for 15 years before they were conceived, look, you're expecting perfection when they get here, right? So maybe that's why I just spoke positive words over them. I said so many positive words to my 20-year-old granddaughter that when she was 3, she said, Mommy, close the door. I want to throw a fit, and I don't want Grandmother to see me. And I was talking about this the other day. I said, Kylie, do you realize I've never spoken a negative word over you? I said, you know, God has got something so awesome for you. She's just now interning at CBS, and I declare that that's not going to defile her. She's going to be a light that shines out in Jesus' name. And then David, when he would answer the phone at 4, I'd say, is this my responsible, dependable, honest, obedient, godly preacher boy? And he'd go, uh-huh. Yeah, I can't stress the importance of blessing, and I really believe. I attribute these grandchildren I have kept themselves morally pure. They have wisdom to choose the right kind of friends. They've not been into alcohol or drugs. And I attribute that to 35 years of prayer. So it's not too late to start. Start praying for your children, your grandchildren, your descendants, and be repenting the whole time you're doing it, because kids are reflecting what's working in you. If you're wanting your kids to change, ask the Lord to show you, did you ever do what they're doing right now? Because whatever you do sets them in motion a reaping. And no matter how much you pray, that reaping is not going to change till you go back and find out what you did back there. And I've shared this before at Lake Hamilton, but I'll share it again. I had a lady at one of my meetings said, pray for my daughter. She's fixing to marry a Hindu. And I said, and she's a Christian. I said, did you ever do anything like that? And she went, no. Oh, my goodness, yes. She said, I went to the University of Mexico City, and I was in love with a bullfighter. And I was going to marry him and chunk America and chunk my mother and dad. Well, she repented. And so the next week I went home. I had forgot the daughter's name. I had told her I would put the daughter on the prayer list. And so I came back and I forgot the girl's name. So I called the hostess of the meeting and I said, what was that lady's daughter's name? She said, you don't have to pray for her. I said, she's already repented. You see, what you do, everything you have done, even before you became a Christian, set in motion a reaping process. And so if your daughter or son is doing something that you used to do even before you were a Christian, you've got to go back and take accountability, because when you do in the spirit realm, you're breaking that reaping and your reaping will change. Hallelujah. I had another man from Pennsylvania said, pray for my daughter. Said she's on drugs. She's irresponsible. She lies. She's pregnant out of wedlock. I said, did you ever do anything like that? And he went, oh, dear God, she's just like me. Heard from him 8 months later, his daughter's doing great because he took accountability for his stuff. See, in the spirit, you cannot see it, but people are bound to do your reaping. And you know, you don't reap through people you don't care about. It's always through people you love. And here's some facts about blessing. Blessing becomes something we have to learn to do because we're programmed to curse. Blessings are not silent or quiet prayers. They are public proclamation, always spoken boldly, with authority, and with confidence. I don't even have to agree with what I'm blessing. I simply am agreeing with God with His intention for that person or thing, not how I feel. I can agree with God even though my natural mind could not understand why God would want somebody blessed. My nature is to withhold from others what God would want me to give them, because He sees things from the eternal perspective and I see things from a temporal value system. We tend not to bless things we see as negative or things that we don't like. But if I begin to bless, I'm setting a standard of measure whereby I get blessed. Because the Bible says what you give, you get, right? So if I give blessings, I get blessings back. Amen? So if you set a standard of cursing, You're setting a standard for yourself where you're going to get cursed. And so God wants to change our reaping, our perspective. When you bless your marriage, you're blessing what God created, what God joined together. When we bless our children, we're saying what God's intention for them is. When we bless, we're saying this is God's potential for this person. No matter where you are, at the moment you have, at any moment, you have the potential to be what God intends, because someone on earth must take a stand for God's intentions on earth. And that's kingdom living, Carla. It's taking dominion. And you know how we beg God, oh God, change this. We pray, the same old things, and things never change. We've got to say it if we want to see a difference. And we've got to cancel our negative. When we bless, we're standing on earth as the intercessor, declaring on earth as it is in heaven. Blessing is not something that is part of our natural makeup. Our fleshly nature is to blame and accuse others. It started in the garden when the glory departed in the garden, and God said, Adam, who you're listening to? And he said, my wife. And then his wife said, the serpent. And they want to blame someone else instead of taking accountability. When we bless, we're in agreement with God. When God has our mouth, He has our whole body, James 3 says. When we bless, we are prophetically speaking over life. We're saying prophetically, this is God's intent for you. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, and we're speaking God's intention over them. When I give blessings, I receive blessings. I get what I give. Jesus was a blesser. Blessing is an act of faith. You know, praise is an act of faith too, isn't it? Praising God, blessing God for His goodness. Thank you, Lord, for finances. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in my life. Thank you that fat's melting. Thank you that you're giving me a new mindset. Amen. About food. And He is doing that. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessing is more than saying God bless you. Blessing means I give God's intention for you. Blessing is not flattery. Proverbs 26:28 says, and a flattering mouth works ruin. We have a tendency to not bless what we don't like. Blessing is not being a hypocrite or lying. It is prophesying God's intent for that person. What does it mean to curse? First of all, it doesn't necessarily mean profanity, but it could be if you're going to curse somebody and use nasty words. It could be that, but not necessarily. But to curse others means a negative, supernatural power initiated by speech. Words spoken over a person contrary to the Word of God that set in motion a destructive force carried out by demonic powers that will continue from generation to generation until we supernaturally break them. Now, some facts about cursing. When I curse, it means I'm withholding God's heart from a person. When I speak negatively of another, I lock them in a prison, in whatever kind of prison I'm judging them in. When we're cursing, we're saying what our heart is full of and saying how we feel. An environment of cursing causes a person to fail, where an environment of blessing causes a person to succeed and to overcome. When we curse, we put God in opposition to us to defend those we're cursing. Cursing means to deny or refuse them God's intentional right for their life. Sickness and disease enters a family when we curse our own flesh. Cursing is what we oppose, when we oppose what Jesus came for. He came to heal us. When I curse, I may win the battle, but I lose the war. At the moment I begin to curse, the blessings stop. Words are very powerful when they're spoken by someone in authority over you. They can be words of praise that breathe life into your spirit or your life. Or they can be words of criticism and words of judging that erode away at your life. God has not given us the opportunity to give our opinion, and it doesn't matter how we feel about things. It's only in the United States of America that we have freedom of speech. In God's kingdom, we do not have freedom of speech. A priest, the Bible says, and we're kings and priests, is not to be lawless with his words. In the kingdom of God, we don't have the right of free speech. We have only the right to say what He says. And in doing so, we've entered the kingdom of heaven. I've counseled people over the years who struggle with terrible feelings of self-hatred. And in talking to them, it usually started in childhood when negative words were spoken over them. Words of failure, words of defeat, words that tear down their confidence. And it's easy to spot kids that have not had affirmation from their mothers and fathers, especially their fathers. They can be withdrawn or insecure, or they can be loud or brash. And they may get in trouble with authorities, may go with the wrong kind of friends. It's all in an attempt to find approval that they never found with their mom and dad. And I'm sure all of us can think about our kids and our heart can break because of the failures of our life. But you know what? God forgives us and we have to forgive ourselves. I'm the hardest person for me to forgive. I can forgive you just like that. But me, I have a hard time forgiving myself. But you have to forgive yourself just like you have to forgive other people. Surprisingly, even when negative and critical words may have never been spoken, the mere absence of positive words carries the same effect. The child is left to himself to try to come to his own conclusion about what his parents think about him, and it's usually not good. And it's really simple just to tell your child you're proud of them. I watch some of these little kids at church when you just brag on them and tell them and not flatter them. When you see them doing something good, tell them how great they're doing. But when they don't do good, use a rod on them. I'm serious. Kids are in trouble today because of the lack of discipline. And if you want a bipolar on your hands, just go back and don't train them up in the way they should go. Because that's the root. Rebellion is the root of bipolar. Either generationally or not discipline it. And when I say discipline, I'm not. There's only one negative side of discipline, and that's the rod if you don't listen. But the positive side of discipline, there's hundreds of positive sides of discipline: love, care, nurture, communication, affirmation, conversation, provision, help, leadership, guidance, hugs, kisses, forgiveness. You could just go on and on. Only one negative thing. If you don't listen, you're going to get it. I remember my grandson remembers one spanking I gave him. He disobeyed, and I went out the front door and got a limb off the tree and spanked him, and I never had to spank him again. Now, the granddaughter that's like me, I had to spank her and spank her and spank her and spank her. And anyway... she's a good girl. Throughout the Old Testament, the patriarchs, the men of God, they laid their hands on their children and blessed their children. And these ancient traditions have just kind of been lost today in the modern world. There's something very dynamic that takes place in a child's life when he receives a spoken blessing from his mother and from his father, especially his father. I remember I used to ask the intercessors to pray that my daddy would give me a blessing before he died. My daddy don't even know what it means. And one day, those of you who know Tamara spent the night and we were at my dad's house. And Tamara said, she spoke from the balcony down to my dad. She said, "Mr. Reddick, would you give Jerry a blessing?" He said, "Well, I already have blessed her." Anyway, he said, "What do you mean?" I was going to say, "Tamara, you're going to..." I was thinking, she's going to make my daddy mad. Anyway, she came downstairs, and she led him in a prayer to bless me with everything that was in the Word of God. He don't even know what he did. But you know, I went upstairs, and the enemy wanted to cheat me out of that. And you know what God said? Blessings are irrevocable. And God reminded me of Jacob and Esau Isaac. Esau cried and said, "Bless me." And Isaac said, "Well, it's too late. I already gave the blessing away." And when an authority speaks a blessing over you, you can expect the fulfillment of it because it won't be revoked. The fact is that everything that humanity ever received from our Creator, it begins with His spoken blessing. The first act after He created Adam and Eve, He blessed them. He blessed Noah in Genesis 9:1. He blessed Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. He blessed Jacob in Genesis 32, 24 through 32. He blessed King David in 2 Samuel 7, 29. Bestowing the blessing is a universal right and a powerful spiritual tool to invoke divine benefits. Blessing is very important, a very important spiritual function, generally forgotten among believers today. The purpose of blessing is to confer abundant and effective heavenly life upon someone or something. This supernatural blessing is invoked out loud, and once the blessing has been spoken, it cannot be withdrawn. We also see the power of blessing in the Bible. In fact, the Bible is a book of blessing. Almost every page of the Bible, blessing is on almost every page of the Bible. Jesus most extraordinarily blessed humankind when he took the little children in his lap and he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." He was saying the kingdom of heaven is here. Of course, it's our choice if we're going to follow God or not, but he blessed those children. If that which comes out of our mouth is a delight unto the Lord, God says we'll have what we say. If our mouth doesn't speak it, we'll never see it. God says in Proverbs 23, verse 16, and God says, "And my inmost being will rejoice when your lips and my lips speak what's right." Through blessing others, you will witness a delivering power in the lives of those you bless as never experienced before. "You shall not only cast out devils with my name, with my blood, and by my authority, but you can go into a room of people and speak a blessing and demons will leave." You know, there's something to say about that. Our blessings have more power than any satanic or witchcraft curse. That's why God says, "Bless those who curse you." And so, you know, you're not blessing them that they'll win the lottery next week. You're blessing them. I bless them with salvation. I bless them with the fear of the Lord. I bless them with the conviction of sin. I bless them with salvation. Recently, I heard what was that David's name that was here with this the African American man that's Boney, the man that traveled with Boney, David. That was his name. He was in a meeting in Tyler, and he spoke the most awesome prophecy over me. It made me cry. It was so awesome. But then he said, "There's an assignment against your life. The enemy wants to stop what you're doing. You need to appoint watchmen on the wall. He won't be able to stop you." And I was going, "How, who, where?" "He won't be able to stop you, but you need to get people to pray for you." And I thought, well, you know, Lord, how do you set watchmen on the wall? And I asked him, and he said, "There's a warlock that has been assigned to stop you. He won't be able to do it." And you know what? It's a joy to pray for him, because I pray blessings of salvation, the fear of the Lord. I see him tied up and gagged and chained. He can't do anything. And you know, when he sends out a curse, it's going to come back and land right in front of him, and he's going to see that the power of my God is greater than the power of his God. Amen? And through blessing, we really do repair the world. By blessing, we're opening the floodgates of heaven upon the hearts and lives of others. Does God say in Isaiah chapter 50 that he's given you the tongue of a disciple that you might sustain the weary one with a word? You know, if our words are not sustaining the weary ones, we're not disciples. And it says, "In morning by morning, I'm going to wake up your ear to listen, and you will not be disobedient, nor will you turn back." You know, I've prayed for my eyes and for so long, and the revelation came one Sunday when my son was preaching. And I've read this scripture hundreds of times. But Jesus told the disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, disciples, because they see, and blessed are your ears because they hear." And I'm thinking, I'm a disciple, so my eyes are blessed. And I've been saying that, and my ears are blessed. And, of course, I need a little help, Glenn. I ran into your wall again tonight. Two times down here, I bumped his wall. I just got the car fixed, got in the car, and did it again tonight. That's embarrassing. That guy at the car place is going to say, "Oh, no, not you again." I asked him the other day, I said, "Do you ever have people that are in here very much like I am?" And he said, oh, yeah, there's people coming here every month to get the scrapes off their car. Blessed are my eyes because they see Glenn's wall. Yes, they're going to see it. I mean, I thought I was a long way away from it. I should have got out and walked around. By blessing, we're opening the floodgates of heaven upon the hearts and lives of others. By blessing, a supernatural power is released when we bless and praise His holy name. You know what? If a witch or Satanist can send a curse against you to give you a heart attack, to kill you, if there's a ground in your life, the Bible says, a curse without a cause cannot lie. If you're a fence rider, you can watch out for all kinds of stuff to happen. Because the enemy, Satanists and occultists, know if your heart's not right. They don't know, but the demons that control them know. And so, if they have power to send a curse of sickness through an evil, demonic thing, how much more power will our blessing to bless somebody to get healed? It's just more power. Invoking a blessing will cancel a curse. By blessing, we heal lifelong feelings of isolation, loneliness, worthlessness, emptiness, and recognize God's real power or our real power and blessing. We will be blessed to the extent that we bless others. Blessing is the act of releasing the supernatural power of God into another person's life by the spoken word of spiritual authority, or even a little child can speak it. Invoking a blessing changes the situation. Example, Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were worshiping God in the prison. The prison doors came open. They were blessing God. Blessing causes my perception to change and or the people around me to change. Causes me to change too. Blessing gives the ability to change the environment to failure or success. From failure to success. When you begin to speak God's intent over a person's life, it releases destiny within them. Blessing repels every demonic force coming against us. Blessing releases God to come carry out His word. Blessing is the removal of obstacles so you can get to your destiny. And blessing your children will build character in them. Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you. Luke 6:27 says, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Bless those that curse you. Psalms 109, David speaks about a person who loved cursing. It says cursing will come to him, and it will go down into his body like water and oil into his bones, and he'll have a belt of cursing. It says that in Psalms 109. When we choose to curse others and speak negative of them, we're really hurting ourselves. Because a part of birthing our own destiny is bringing to life in other people their destiny. We can be God's fire extinguishers, putting out the fire of words that have been spoken against us. And we can be rivers of life flowing from the throne of God to quench these fires. And how many of you like to be around a negative person? I will avoid negative people. People, you know, Dave Wilkerson said some people can look at the mud and see stars, and some people can look at the stars and see mud. But if we're blessers, because of the grace and mercy that radiates from our lives, it'll draw people to us like magnets. Because people like to be around people that bless them. Amen? It encourages you to be blessed. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Good, timely words are a treasure. Proverbs 15:23 says, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And we should be people that are worshipers, because you can't bless horizontally until you're a worshiper to worship God. Because I know before God brought me into this, I used to pray years ago, Lord, I don't know how to worship you. And God has made a worshiper out of me. And because I can worship and praise God, now I'm more able to bless other people because I'm able to bless God. And I'm not saying I do it 100% right. I want it increased every day I live. I'm not satisfied with what I have of God. I want to, the day I leave this earth, I want to be closer to God than I am today. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, prophetic revelation, the people have nothing to tie themselves to. Deuteronomy 30:11, verse 15. God says, I've set before you this day death and life, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. When you and I speak words of life, it becomes spirit and penetrates the heart of people and causes a change in people to turn, because Jesus said, my words are spirit and life, which means fabric or substance of life. And possibly the reason that we've not seen more victory or more good things in our life, even though we've survived, is because we've not been consistent to bless others. Ecclesiastes 12:11 says, the words of a wise man are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. You know, I can drive a nail for God, or I can drive a nail for Satan. And so I want to be a person that my words are like well-driven nails given by God the shepherd, for God to show me what is His desire for this person or you, and speak it over that person. And so start today by blessing yourself. I guess we proclaim for ourselves. But bless ourselves, bless our children, bless our grandchildren, bless our mates. Those of you who are married, bless your marriages. Bless them going in, coming out. Bless them in the city. Bless them in the country. And the power of blessing will blast the power of cursing. Proverbs 25 says, a word amply spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Praise to people is like sunshine and rain to flowers. Amen. Have you ever seen flowers after a wonderful rain and the sunshine on that flower? And so perhaps that you've been cursed growing up. If you'll stand up, some of you have been cursed growing up. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you all the negative words that have been spoken over you. And then ask the Holy Spirit all the negative words that you've spoken over your family. If you say your husband's a bum, guess what? He's a bum. You have what you say. Now, who was it that I asked today about their husband, and Mary said, oh, he's a sweetie. He is a sweetie. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Well, Holy Spirit of truth, why did you let me hear this message? What do I need to do to repent? Lord, change me. Lord, forgive me for murmuring and complaining, griping and bellyaching. And Lord, show me everything I need to repent of, and show me every word of death that's been spoken over me that has tied me to sickness, disease, failure. And can I tell you the words doctors speak over you, except Dr. Null. Now, he wouldn't speak a word, negative word over you. But doctors speak negative words, and you need to break those words, because it's a curse, not a blessing. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Show me everything I need to forgive my mother and father for. Every negative word that was spoken over me. In Jesus' name. And just deal with whatever the Lord shows you, and then just sit down when you're through, and then we'll do group deliverance. Okay, Lord, forgive me for being a curser instead of a blesser. Lord, first of all, I want to forgive my mother and father, people at school, mates, people in my life for speaking negative words over me. Lord, forgive me for speaking negative words over myself. I just ask you to forgive me. Lord, forgive me for not being a worshiper. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for cursing others. Forgive me for not speaking your word. Forgive me for not holding fast the confession of my faith without wavering. Forgive me for having a foolish mouth that has caused ruin to be at hand. Forgive me that with my mouth I've destroyed my family, my neighbor. God, thank you for knowledge. That's the truth that's going to set me free today. Forgive me for being godless and destroying the people around me. And I forgive my mother and father, forefathers, for being godless and destroying me with their mouth. I forgive those people for hating me instead of loving me. Forgive me for hating people instead of loving them. Forgive me, Lord, for not speaking kind words. Forgive me for speaking rashly like the thrust of a sword. Forgive me that my tongue has not brought healing. Forgive me for not having a soothing tongue. Forgive me for not being a tree of life. Forgive me for perversion in the tongue that's crushed the spirit of others. I forgive my mother and father, mate, other people, for not speaking kind words to me, for thrusting me through with a sword, for not speaking to me with a soothing tongue. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me that my tongue has not been as choice silver. I forgive my mother and father and all the people in my life that their tongues have not been choice silver. Forgive me that my mouth has not flowed with wisdom. Forgive me for having a perverted tongue, which would cause it to be cut out. God, in Jesus' name, I forgive my mother and father, mate, all the people in my life that they've had perverted tongues and they haven't had a soothing tongue. Forgive me for not guarding my mouth and preserving my life. Forgive me for opening wide my lips that's brought ruin. God, forgive me for having a foolish mouth that's been a rod for my back. Forgive me for not having wise lips. Forgive me that my tongue has not made knowledge acceptable, and I've been a fool and spouted folly with my mouth. God, forgive me for not pondering how to answer. Forgive me for not dealing with my issues of the heart that would cause me to think and speak evil things. Forgive me for wickedness that's caused my mouth to pour out evil things. Forgive me for not teaching my mouth and adding persuasiveness to my lips. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not opening my mouth for the dumb, for the rights of the unfortunate. Forgive me for not judging righteously and defending the rights of the afflicted and needy. Forgive me that I haven't opened my mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness has not been on my tongue. Lord, I haven't liked the course of my life, and now I choose to cause my rudder to go a different direction. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for cursing my family, my marriage, my children. Forgive me for defiling others with the mouth. Forgive me for importing demonic things instead of good things. God, in Jesus' name, train my lips. Forgive me for having a flattering mouth. Forgive me for cursing others, withholding your heart, speaking negatively, locking people in prisons of whatever I'm speaking on them. I forgive doctors that have spoke negative things on me. I break the power of their curses. Forgive me for cursing and putting you in opposition. Forgive me for denying your intent in a person's life. God, forgive me in the name of Jesus for not speaking words of praise that breathe life into people. Forgive me for thinking that I have freedom of speech. Forgive me for letting my mouth loose in evil. God, in Jesus' name, I nullify and make void. Cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse assignment that's been spoken over me by myself, by any Satanist or witch or occultist, by my mother and father, brothers and sisters, teachers and classmates, friends and mates. In Jesus' name, God, forgive me for having a perverted tongue, loving to curse, and so cursing I've had to wear as a garment. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for cursing those that curse me. Forgive me for not speaking fitly words that are like apples of gold and settings of silver. Lord, forgive me for not speaking a word in good due season. God, forgive me for not being a blesser. Forgive me for having no vision, no prophetic revelation, nothing to tie myself to. Lord, this day, I choose life and blessings. Forgive me for choosing in the past death and curses. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me that my words have been like well-driven nails used by the enemy instead of by you. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for the truth that sets me free. I forgive my mother and father, mates, brothers and sisters, classmates and teachers, friends, for everything that I've just confessed. I forgive them for doing that to me. Lord, I forgive myself. I break soul ties with my brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, teachers and classmates, demonic soul ties with mates. In the name of Jesus, I cut and sever every cord of control, linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And Lord, I forgive all my forefathers for speaking words of death over my forefathers. I want to keep praying, but those of you who are African Americans, I want to take accountability for whatever white Americans did to hurt you and your forefathers. I apologize on behalf of white Americans. God's no respecter of persons. I feel like that somebody needs to step up to the plate and say, I'm sorry. And those of you who have Indian ancestry or Hispanic, I take accountability and I want to apologize to you for what white Americans have done to cheat your forefathers or cheat you out of salary and out of wages. Heaven is not going to be segregated. God made all of our colors. One's not better than the other. But I need to lead you to forgive those of you who had forefathers who were slave owners. Need to forgive your forefathers who were slave owners. And those of you who had forefathers who were slaves, you probably cursed the forefathers probably cursed the slave owners. The slave owners cursed you. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my forefathers for cursing anybody. And, Lord, I forgive anyone who owned slaves for cursing my forefathers. Lord, I break soul ties with them. I forgive them. I forgive me. I cut and sever every cord of control, linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, in the name of Jesus, of all the things I've confessed. Things coming down generationally. Curses being spoken generationally. I nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, every word of iniquity, every curse assignment that's been spoken over me by doctors or by anyone else or that I've spoken or that has been spoken over me by authority figures. I break it now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, and Lord, set a watch over my mouth in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much. Bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.